Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. And I'm actually at the Doubletree Hotel at the Hilton here in Cairns and catching up in the yarn with our deadly uncles. Honouring our uncles is the Capture, Kinchilla Boys Aboriginal Training Camp. And yarning with the uncles here, they call it the actual, it was a prison. They got flogged and what have you, treated bad, stolen. And we, look, truth telling, here we are telling the story. I'm now going to catch up with Uncle Richard Campbell, who's come to join me. Uncle Richard, very good morning. How are you?
Good day, mate. How you going, mate?
I'm very good, thank you, my uncle. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
Okay, my name's Richard Campbell. I'm a proud Goombanga Dungati man from the north coast of New South Wales, around the Bucka Bucka Valleys and the Gumbeezy Valleys. That's Kempsey and then Bucka Heads.
Okay, beautiful. I would say from Cairns, far north Queensland, cold country down there.
Very cold at the moment, you know. Very cold.
Uncle, thank you for coming to the program. Look, we a big shout out to Mission Australia and young Bala. That's Daniel Gila, who's organising a part of the organisation of having you boys up here, and we're honouring the Kinchilla boys who are in the Aboriginal training camp. Picking up that you would call it a prison, would you not? Can you tell us your story, how you were taken? Do you remember the year, how it all happened? And tell us how your treatment was towards you at the Kinchilla Aboriginal training camp.
Cool, okay. Like I said, I'm a Goombanga Dungati man. I was with my family. There's 11 in our family, but the older siblings, they all separated, they got married and that, you know. And my father and mother always used to go from town to town. I always wondered why they used to go from town to town. And now I realise that they were trying to protect us from the welfare board.
Yeah.
Because they was chasing us. We've been, you know, like nearly about 6 months, you know, in different towns around New South Wales, you know, mainly a lot in Sydney. And then they finally caught us back home where we actually came from, a little town called Bowerville on the north coast. Mm. Apparently that's where they get all the state of origin plates.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And we steal them, bring them to Queensland.
Yeah, brought them all to Queensland.
Queensland's everywhere.
I don't worry about that, you know, because the Murray mob always put, you know, gave the Guri fellas a go in the
Murray Guri fellas, that's right.
Yeah, in 1966, in October 1966, that's where they caught us, you know. And my older brother, Thomas Campbell, mm. Preston Campbell's father.
Is that right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. He took off. He ran away from mum and dad. And mum and dad had actually, they went looking for him. And the welfare board actually found out about it. And as soon as they found out about it, they come looking for us then.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he suffers mentally because he always blames himself myself. See, there was myself, my older brother, and three younger siblings, younger girls. Mm. I was 8 going on to 9 years old, and my older brother was 11, and my three younger sisters were 5, 4, and 18 months. Mm. So you can imagine, you know, like seeing our three younger sisters getting thrown into these big black cars by coppers, and you know, and these big men that used to go around. Instead of stealing, we don't say stealing, we say kidnapping.
And kidnapping.
It was legalised kidnapping by the government.
Legalised kidnapping, exactly. Look, that's the terminology, and it's real.
Oh, it's actually real, you know, and from there we went to court in Maxwell. And they locked us all up for the night. So imagine an 18-month-old girl, you know, five and 3, they'll get locked up in a little wet, dingy little cell, you know. Then we went to court next day in Maxwell, and they gave us a charge. Neglect. Neglect is actually a charge.
Is that right?
Yeah. Because they thought that mum and dad neglected us. And we were never neglected.
You never neglected.
Yeah. All the old people knew the old ways.
All smoke and mirrors.
Yes.
To take your kids away from the family.
That's all it was, right? That's all it was. You know, we were never neglected because...
And we're talking 1966, not long ago.
67, the referendum, you know.
And that's right. And Uncle, I was born in 1966.
Yeah. And
not long ago.
Yeah, and, you know, referendum then, they were supposed to, you know, notice black fellas as human beings, but we were still fauna and flora.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
We're still
exactly.
fauna and flora.
We
you
are. Yeah. So you're guava tree. Coconut tree. That's
yeah,
right,
that's it. Yeah, no, we're down there, we're like you said, guava tree. We call them gorbas down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
So the treatment was harsh. You would get flogged?
When they gave us a charge, they all threw us back into the car, and it was in the evening, and then they took us to Kinchula, me and my older brother, and my three younger sisters was in the back still screaming and crying, and we was trying to hang on to them. They said they dragged me and my older brother to when we got to Kinchula, you know, and started belting in my older brother, and they, you know, because he was hanging on to his three younger sisters.
Yeah.
We couldn't hold him because he had 6 foot plus men, you know.
Sure.
Ex-army
people, personnel,
exactly. And as soon as you walk in the gate, you know, and we could hear our sisters, you know, cry just go around the corner, you know, in the dark, you know, just fading away, you know, just screaming and crying for us.
And you still remember that to this day?
You could hear it, you know.
Yeah.
You could still hear it. I get choked up.
Yeah, Uncle.
I get choked up. But as soon as we walked in the gates, you know, and the first thing they said, bang, hit me in the back of the head, bang, punched in the back. Me and my older brother, right.
Grown men.
Yeah, grown men. Yep. Right, your name's not Richard Campbell, you are now number 28.
Number 28. Your name was gone, numbered.
You're not black anymore, you are white. You know, you're not allowed to speak your language. If you speak your language, you're going to get bashed. You haven't got a mother and father. If you do, we're going to send the authorities around to shoot them. This is the first mental scars,
yep,
right?
Yep,
up,
yep,
you know.
Yep, 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 yep.
And every time they said it, they used to belt us in the back of the head around the ears, and that, you know. So, and the older brother, he got worse because, you know, he was bigger, and you know they thought they'd belt it into him a lot, you know. So, I felt really sorry for the older brother, but from there we went around to incinerate around the back of Kinchula, and. They stripped us off, burnt all our clothes.
Yep.
Yeah, and they told us to get in the shower. They washed us. You know, they sand soap. You know what sand soap is?
It's hard, rough soap,
rough,
isn't it?
Yeah, they used to
clean
the floors and that with, you know.
Peel your skin off, brother.
Well, that's what they used on us.
Yeah.
And a massive big scrub brush, and our skin was peeling, you know.
Yeah.
And then once they wiped us down, they threw all this lice powder over, you know, all of us. And we was actually white then, you know, because we had this white powder all over us.
Yep.
And we had to have that on for a couple of days, so we stunk, you know. And it stinged because of the, you know, we had cuts, you know, where our skins were peeling.
Open wound,
you know.
Yep.
From what they did, you know, and from there they split me and my older brother up, you know. So yeah. He went to a big dormitory and I went to the small dormitory.
So when they burn your clothes, they burn your shoes as well, so you're barefoot, and the clothes that they're giving you were virtually second hand, but they weren't warm clothes either, were they?
No, they were all real thin clothes, you know, and I had to use clothes that other boys, older fellas that left, so you can imagine I was all baggy, you know.
Yeah,
so
you were about four layers.
Yeah, and
skin clothes.
And what I didn't know, the bloke who had the number 28, he was a very cheeky young fella in the boys.
And you had his number now.
I had his number, and
they targeted you.
I inherited his pain. You know,
gotcha.
They used to throw me around, belt the shit out of me. You know, the punishments were bad. You know, bloody physically, mentally, sexually was the worst one. You know, especially when you first went in there.
Yeah.
You know, and they started trying to bloody sexually. You know, they stripped me off, grabbed me. In private, pulled his skin back, and I said, "You've got to clean that." And he tasted me. You know, this
uncle,
is the manager.
That's right, Uncle.
You know, he's the manager. You know, bloody. And I never, you know, experienced anything like that before.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know.
So, how long were you in the so-called training camp, the prison, you could say?
It was about probably 3.5 years.
Because, 3.5 years.
Yeah, me and Will, old brother. You'll have Will on in a minute.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We were the last in there. You know, so we seen kids who were closed.
Yeah, after that.
Yep.
And when they let you go, where'd you go, back home? Did you see parents again?
We all thought we were going home. They said, get that out of your little black mind, your little black seas and that, you know, because you're going to a different institutions. We end up in three other institutions.
Okay, thereafter.
See, what people got to realise, in New South Wales, there were 300 different institutions in New South Wales.
Yeah, gotcha. It was a business.
Yeah, it was a massive, we were a commodity.
Yeah, sure, thank you. Yeah, we were a product of the system. Yeah,
and our kids are still a commodity.
Yeah, thank you.
And our inmates are still right across Australia, you know, because one inmate in New South Wales is worth about $250,000.
Yeah, big money. Yeah,
so you can imagine what a girl's worth. You can imagine what a girl's worth.
Yeah.
Because a female, you know, and we see we're involved with this mob that goes around to talk about slavery, the world's slavery thing.
Thank you. And
we were slaves.
You were slaves.
We were actually slaves, you know. Yep. This is only in 66.
Well, they call it the Conchilla Boys Aboriginal Training Camp.
That's it.
But it's virtually Conchilla Boys Aboriginal
slaves.
Prison.
It was a prison.
Thank you.
Even though there's barbed wire and that, you know, we could have run away. Brother Will ran away that many times, but they had the fear in our minds, you know, mentally.
Yeah.
So, and we looked at the barbed wire as a massive big wall, you know. So,
yeah.
And, you know, look, I was frightened, you know. I wasn't game enough to do anything. Yeah, I didn't know where. All I had to do was swim across the river. The river was just right across the road. And I was home.
You was home, but you didn't realise that.
Yeah, that close, only an hour away.
Yeah.
And I didn't realise my father was born in Kempsey. See?
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, he never
got family
told us.
There. Yeah,
yeah,
family.
Family. Yeah, see, yeah. See, when we went to school, we used to even going to Kempsey playing soccer and cricket and all that.
Yeah.
When they see black ones, I say, okay, number 28, turn around, shut your eyes and bow your head.
Yeah.
I said, well, why? You know, because your parents are coming along. You know, and I thought my parents were gone, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so. And I had to do that. They said, if you look at them, talk to them, you're gone.
Yeah, gotcha.
A couple of times I did. They said, hello, Mum and Dad.
Yep.
They got me back at Kinchula. They started bashing in.
Bashing you. Yep.
They chained me up to the tree.
Whoa.
Yep. And then in the evening, and then the workers did whatever they liked to, you know.
Yeah.
And the women didn't, you know, their wives didn't like giving them sexual. So you can imagine where the sexual.
That's,
you know,
right. Yep. Exactly.
We were the target.
Yeah. Uncle, so when you left, but you went to other schools or other camps,
institutions,
other institutions. The word, like the prisons, you could say.
Yep.
When were you free of that? Were you of age, 18 years old?
I was about 17 when they let me out. This is probably about another 3 years after that.
Three years after that? And when you were freed, did you go home?
They just pushed me out the gate. They said, you've got to fend for yourself now. So didn't know where I was going. When I got out, I hated white people.
Yeah, gotcha. You hated white people.
I had anger. They never taught me how to respect meat people. They never taught me how to respect people. Taught me how to respect the female species. Never taught me how to talk to people.
Yeah.
They said I was white. I went over to the white community. They said, no, you're a black man. You've got to go over to the black
You're
community.
Confused, didn't know where you were. No man's land.
Yeah, and I went over to black community. They didn't want me because I was speaking, you know, a different language.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
You know, they didn't know me. They said, no, we don't know you.
So you hated white people.
I hated white people. Even black people.
Because they treated you as well, bad as well.
Because,
you know, no man's land. You didn't have no.
They call it, you know, bridging the gap. Bridging
the gap.
The gap.
Yeah.
We were the gap between the
gap. Thank you. You're the gap between the gap. Oh,
yeah.
That's heavy again, Uncle.
We were the gap between the gap. So
did you see your mum, Dad again?
Probably not a couple of years after that. A little place called the Empress Hotel in Redfern.
Is that right?
Yeah.
When you saw your mother?
My mother was sitting there. She wouldn't look at me. She knew me. She wouldn't let them look at me. And I just walked as her mum. She wouldn't say a thing to me. And I just put a beer in front of her. I said, hello, Mum. She said, that's all I wanted to see, son, a beer. Because she was mentally
scarred.
Scarred, yeah. Because she lost five of her kids.
Yep. Uncle, it's very sad to hear the story. Thank you for sharing the story.
No, that's all right.
Truth telling, the stories must be told. They say build a bridge, get over it. But we say, lest we forget.
Our bridge is us, KBH.
Yep.
And our anchor that keeps us together is our numbers. That's our strength.
Yeah.
You know,
like, number 28.
Yeah, number 28, and I said to Carly, look, my girl, I said, they created us, and the government don't like us.
Yeah, sure.
You know, it's their history.
Yep.
They've got to own up to that
history. Yeah, they won't own up to it.
About 3 or 4 years ago, we scanned a place.
Yep.
There's 11 anomalies where people dug up.
Yeah.
A lot of the kids went missing. You know, they used to come in and
so we're talking murder here.
So, we're talking, you know. And we're gonna scan it again. They only went down a meter, see?
Yep.
The people who done it, they only went down a meter.
Yep.
And now the government and the local lands council, you know, we've been fighting with the local lands council to get Kinchelow back, to turn it into a museum, you know, so people can learn
history.
About
history. Exactly.
It's there. Yep. They created it, you know. And like I said, If they ever find a body or a couple of bodies, someone's got to own up.
Yeah, sure, exactly. Yeah,
someone's got to own up.
Yep.
Own up to their own, you know, to dirty work.
Exactly. Yeah. Uncle Richard Campbell, it's a pleasure meeting you. You are our warriors of the 21st century.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming to Cairns. Enjoy your time here. Uncle, a big shout out to your family. You travel safe and we'll talk soon, eh?
No, well, just say, Percy, I'll see you down to Kempsey somewhere. Hey, Percy Neal.
Percy Neal, big shout out.
You still owe me a pair of boots, brother.
There you go, Percy Neal. Hope you heard that, my brother. Look too beautiful. Thank you very much, Uncle Richard Campbell, and we'll talk soon. Here it is, yarning up strong with the Kinchelow boys. Aboriginal training camp, they would call it, but it's actual Aboriginal training prison. That's how the boys know it. Got flogged every day, and the history is the history, and let it be told. Look, stay tuned. Your daily program, National Talk Black.
I'ma need it. I'ma need it. Hit you with the treble. I'ma need it. Come on, give it to me, girl. Hey, you mob, did you know Child's World Early Learning Centre's free kindergarten approved program has been nurturing growth and learning for over 30 years with early childhood education for children aged from 6 weeks to kindergarten? To find out more, get in contact at 4045 4045. Station sponsor.
It's 2:38 a.m. You're in the deepest cycle of sleep. It's almost impossible to wake you. But there's a fire downstairs. You do wake because you've heard your interconnected smoke alarms. You can't see a thing, but you know how to get your family out because you've all practiced your escape plan. Your family's safety is priceless. New smoke alarm laws are coming. Search Plan to Survive today to find out if you're compliant. Authorised by the Queensland Government, Brisbane.
Station sponsor.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It's I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from the Doubletree Inn Hilton Hotel. I'm catching up, having a yarn with our deadly uncles who were part of the Kinchilla Boys Aboriginal Training Camp back in the 1960s, Kinchilla Country, New South Wales. I'm going to have a yarn now with Uncle Robert Young. Uncle Robert, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
We start, Uncle, I just want to say, can you let the mob know who your mob, where you're from?
Yeah, Robert Paul Young, number 24. I'm born in Corindai, I'm a proud Camilleroy.
Camilleroy,
yes. And my totem is Goanna.
Goanna. Okay, beautiful. Uncle, so you were part of the, you could say stolen generation. You were taken from your community to Kinchilla Boys Aboriginal Training Camp. At what year was that? And tell us the story how you were taken.
My story begins in 1954 at the age of five. And we went through all this punishment before we even reached the boys' home, and the girls, we go to Cootamundra girls' home. Mm. At that time, in 1954, we got kidnapped in Corindai, five of us. And on that day, they were going out to... my eldest sister, at the age of 10, my cousin was 8, and my youngest sister was 3. Mm. We were walking down the main street in Corindai. After school, my eldest sister would pick us up and take us around to Nan and Pop.
Yep, Nan and Pop's, yep.
And like I said, there's a lot of propaganda and lies that went in there. We were told by the blue uniform, that's what I class them to the day I go, I won't call them by their right name.
Yep.
So they started our trauma. And my little sisters would take us around to our Nan and Pop after school. After being told that our parents were dead, my dad and mum used to work in Corindai Hospital as cleaners. Mm. And my dad worked in abattoirs, shearing sheds, and on the farms. But on that day in 1954, we was going out, took us out 80 k's out the gun to pick up two more boys. Mm. And with the punishment we went through, now this is before we got to the homes, well, the three girls went to Cootamundra, myself, and my cousin went to the boys' home, which our numbers were 24, I was, and the cousin was number 23. So you have travelled with family on country roads, where there's potholes, and that day, we was lucky to get water, that's how we got picked up in a paddy wagon.
Yep.
We was lucky to get water for them.
Uncle, were you by yourself at the time?
No, there was five of us.
Are they your siblings?
Yeah.
Yep.
Five of us.
You got picked up at the one time?
No, we all got picked up at one time.
Yes, Uncle.
Yeah. Like I said, my eldest sister was 10, my cousin was 8, and the youngest sister was 3.
Yep.
And myself and my other cousin was 5 years of age.
They rounded you up like cattle?
Yeah. I crossed when we was in the back of the paddy wagon as as if we were little lambs. And So with the punishment we went through, they're going out 80 k's out the gunner to bring two more boys back. Mm. And they're related. To this day, I keep on saying, I don't know where they went.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of other institutes in New South Wales where girls and boys were put in. But on that day, there was potholes on the road.
Yep.
And they would drive over where the road's uneven, left and right, where the sun's having.
To give you a rough ride?
Yeah. Where the sun would melt the tar, they'll drive over it and they'll drive over the potholes and you're bouncing around on the back of the paddy wagon.
Yeah, and you remember that to this day?
Yeah, to the day ago. A lot of bad stories, bad things that went on in there.
So boys went to one camp, Kinchilla boys, and the girls went to another camp?
Cootamundra Girls Home.
Cootamundra Girls Home.
Yeah. So we popped at Balfay and the other two boys. Mm. But they wouldn't let you know they were related, you know. Yeah. That was another thing. All my brothers, which I always say to them, I love them.
Yep.
I love my brothers.
You love your brothers you went to school with, you were in the camp with?
Yeah.
They're brothers for life.
Yep. Yeah. To the day we go.
Yeah.
So we copped the punch when going out and back, and the other two only copped it one way into back to Corindai. But pull into a service station or a convenience store and they hit the brakes and we all go forward and put it in reverse and do the same.
Yeah.
So when we got back to Corindai, they locked us up in the cell.
Yes. And cold country, when we're talking about country New South Wales, you were not wearing no shoes. You probably did not have any jumpers as well. Is that the case?
No. No. My brother rides the Seb when he first come through those gates of hell, that's what we call them. This was run by ex-military officers.
Ex-military officers, run by ex-military officers?
Yeah.
Yeah, who pushed the authority on you? Yep, of course.
They did.
And they flogged you as well, did they not? They flogged you as well.
Yep.
You had a lot of punishment, physical, mental, spiritual, all the above.
Yeah, the main thing was the caning.
Caning, they caned you as well? How long were you in there for, Uncle?
11 years.
11 years. When you come out, did you go home or where did you go or what did you do? Did you see your family again, your mother again?
I did see my mum and dad.
Yeah.
And myself and my cousin come out there at the age of 16.
16, yeah.
1965.
Yeah.
And on that day, when we come out of the boys' home, meet our foster parents.
Yes.
I keep on saying that my foster parents were very nice people.
So they were white people?
Yep.
And they were very nice people?
Very nice people.
Okay, you still have a relationship, friendship with them?
Yep.
Yeah,
oh, not with my mum and dad foster.
Yeah.
They probably passed on by now, but... But in the family there, one kid of their own, and they had two adopted non-Indigenous girls. One was a little person, and the other one was normal.
Yep.
Yeah.
Uncle Robert, did you get to see your siblings, your sisters and brothers again?
Yeah, except one cousin.
Yeah.
My cousin's sister.
Yep.
But I got to see the rest of the family, except for Nan and Pop. I did see Nan, but I didn't get to see Pop.
Yeah. So the training camp was a prison, wasn't it not?
Yeah. Concentration camp.
Concentration camp, that you boys called it, a concentration camp. Yep.
I do, anyway. The boys will probably do say the same thing. So.
Yeah. Well, we had you up here in Cairns in recognition, acknowledgement, honouring. The Uncles was the title, Mission Australia, and... young brother here, TSI Buller, Arab Dunley Island, Daniel Gila, one of the organisers. We acknowledge you and we respect you and we call you the true warriors of the 21st century. Uncle Robert, good yarning with you, Uncle Robert Young. Thank you for your yarn. You take care.
Can I get back to my mum and dad?
Sorry?
Can I get back to my mum and
please,
dad?
Yeah, please. Yeah, thank you. Continue.
To meet our foster parents, when we got sick.
What is your dad's name?
Thomas Neen. Thomas Neen.
Thomas Neen. And mum's name?
Dulcie Young.
Okay. Big shout out to them, yes, with us in spirits.
So when we had come back out of our boys in 1965 to meet our foster parents, on my cousin's side, I don't know if they were Spanish, or we met up with a Spanish girl, and he could speak their language.
Oh, okay.
They couldn't speak Tamil or
is that
and
right?
And it's still upset.
Lost his traditional cultural language, but picked up the Spanish language.
I'm still catching up.
You're still trying to catch up with your language, of course you are.
So, if you know the suburbs in Sydney, Alexandra and Erksonville, my mum was only 50 yards from where I was living.
Yeah, is that right? And you didn't know?
Didn't know.
Oh, wow.
I was still in the water state. And my foster parents, so I turned 18, but I stayed till when I was 19.
Yeah.
That's how nice they were. They used to let me go out at the age of 16.
And you didn't know your mother's 50 yards away?
No, didn't know. So on that journey there, get connected with my parents.
Yes.
Because we didn't have a parents' love.
Yeah.
We didn't have birthdays or Christmas.
Yep.
That was the,
you had no celebration of good times.
But on that day, on that day, I decided to go over to Redfern.
Yes.
In the TAB.
Yes.
And I spoke to my foster parents and said, I'm going over to Redfern anyway. So they let me go.
Yep.
And, so while I was over there, it was in the TAB.
Yep.
This lady was looking at me. Well, I didn't know from a bar of soap, but I normally carry a photo of my dad because I'm a split image of my dad.
Yep.
And so she probably saw the image in my dad.
Thank you. She would have.
Yeah.
Well, a mother knows her children.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she came over and mentioned my name. She said, your name Bobby Young. Because that's what I prefer to be called to.
Yep.
Uncle Bobby.
Yep.
And when she mentioned my name and that, I said, wow, I've got a name, not a number.
Yeah.
Carry those numbers for 11.
You had numbers in the Conchilla Boys training camp and someone mentioned your name, Bobby Young, you knew there was connection.
Yeah, well, I didn't know at that time until she came over.
Yes.
And, when she mentioned my name and she said, I bet you don't know who I am. I said, no. She said, I'm your mother.
Oh, uncle.
That parents love you, miss.
Yep.
I didn't care about the tickets, if I won or lost.
Yep.
I reckon we would have.
You won there. Yeah. You won there. That was a big win at TAB to see your mother.
And then she mentioned when my dad was living, my dad was in Moree.
Yeah.
And then in all those 3 years I walked past Mum's place, I had four sisters and one brother.
Oh.
And on Dad's side, I had four brothers and one sister.
Oh, beautiful. But at that time, being at the CAB, you were of age, weren't you?
Yeah.
So you could just travel, go with her? And did you go with her? Did you go with Mum?
Yeah, but sadly, it was only my Mum and Dad was about a year and a half. They both passed away.
They both passed away, yeah. But you had that time, you had the connection.
But why didn't the government?
Yeah, why didn't the government?
The Aboriginal and the Welfare Board, Protective Board, all of it.
Yep.
Let me go straight to the Mum and Dad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Not to a foster home.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They must have knew.
They must have knew. Uncle, heart goes out to you. Truth telling, here's your story. This is real. This happened in this country. And Conchilla Boys Aboriginal Training Camp was a prison.
Yes.
Yeah. And you're not a number, Uncle. You are Robert Young. Uncle Robert Young, beautiful yarn with you. Thank you. You take care. Enjoy the rest of your stay here in Cairns. And all the best to you and your family.
Thank you.
Thank you, Uncle. God bless. So there it is, Uncle Robert Young, one of the boys that was with the Conchilla Boys Aboriginal Training Camp. The boys, they call it the prison. And they were flogged and what have you and treated really bad, taken away from their family. And this is truth-telling. This is what happened in this country. Good or bad, black or white, Australia history is Australia's history. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarnum with the Bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from McCurry with BBM, Barmer Bipper Media, 98.7 FM. And we go via NERS, National Digital Radio Service.
Up in the sky, so far away, there is a place for everyone. Moon and the stars, they always shine out on that ocean wave. And as the lazy wave rolled by, yes, yes. Somewhere there's joy, somewhere there's sorrow. Out on the sea, it's always the same to me. Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Where the wild, wild Wong Eye Tree goes. Are you from Torres Strait? Any place, including St. Paul Way. Any place and just around by Mario Bay. Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Well, I'm from TI too. Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Where the wild, wild Wong Eye Tree goes. Are you from Torres Strait? Any place, including St. Paul Way. Any place and just around by Mario Bay. Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Well, I'm from TI too. Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Well, I'm from TI too.
Yeah, this is Mark Harbrow. You're tuning in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev on the mic.
1-800-422-416.
Very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Yana with the bully one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Here at the Doubletree Hotel, at the Hilton Hotel here in Cairns. Having to talk to Deadly Uncles, who were part of the Conchilla Boys Aboriginal training for our boys in New Country, New South Wales, Conchilla. And with that, I'm going to catch up a yarn with Uncle Roger Jarrett. So, Uncle Roger, who you mob were you from?
I'm a Goombangir, Southern Goombangir elder.
Okay.
I'm the minder of our totem. Our totem is the diamond python.
Yes.
And I'm the minder handed down to me from the uncles.
Okay, beautiful. Thank you, Uncle. And look, thank you for coming to the program. So, you were one of the boys that were removed from country and taken to Conchilla Boys Aboriginal training camp. So, would you say it was a training camp, or were you treated as slaves? How were you treated, Uncle?
We were treated as slaves. Because,
you were?
Yes. The staff in there were all ex-army. The manager when I was there in 1958 was Frank White, English Army. He was a Grenadier Gunner. There was John Purvis, Sergeant of Grenadier Guards, England.
Yes.
Billy Dodds was a Australian private. He was pretty good at a lot of them. There was Harry Burns, who was a medic, Australian Army, from Maxwell. And the two cooks when I was there in 1958 were Mr. Bilby, Mrs. Stewart. They both lived in Jerseyville.
Okay.
Yeah.
And as the name suggests, Conchilla Boys Aboriginal Training Camp. So it was only for black boys. There were
correct.
No white boys there in the camp?
No, correct. The only white boy that was in there when I was there was the manager's son, Graham White.
Yeah.
And he had another son named Keith.
Sure.
Yeah.
So when you were in the training camp, were you going to school? Were you fed? Were you clothed?
We had a school there, a primary school. Mr. Brian Telford was a teacher in 1958.
Mm-hmm.
He stayed there for about a year. And when I got out of high school, I couldn't learn. Been taken away from your family. Blackboard looks like scribble.
Yeah.
So you can't understand, you can't, it's just blank.
Sure.
Everything's blank. Went to high school in 1960, and went to 1H. And that's
so you went to school from the training camp. The training camp was like the hostel, so to speak?
Yeah.
Or did you have schooling at the camp, at the Conchilla Boys Camp?
Yeah, we had primary school there.
Primary school there, yes.
Yes, and then when I went to high school, we were picked up in a bus.
Yep.
Mercury Road Lines was a company. Hilton Neverson owned it.
Yep.
Used to come to Kinchilla, pick us up, take us to Kempsey High School. When we got there, we were put in a classroom of 1H.
1H?
Yeah, you go from A down to H, it's a long way,
yeah.
Educational-wise.
Yep.
We were in a demountable at the side of the school.
Yeah.
We weren't allowed in the room classrooms of the school.
So there was segregation.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, black students in one classroom, and all the other white students in all the other classrooms.
Yep, exactly right, yeah.
And what year, this is
1961.
Yeah. So there was segregation way back then.
Yeah, But the only thing about that, because we come from Kinsler, we used to go in, have a shower, we were allowed in the swimming pool in 1961.
Yeah.
We were the only ones allowed, the Aboriginals in school, into the swimming pool. The staff said to us, if you walk down the street, you see a black fella coming the other way, walk the other side, you can't trust them, they're no good drunks.
Yeah, that was instilled in the white people around that time.
The ex-army soldiers.
Yeah.
We were flogged every day.
You were flogged every day?
Yep. I was born at Crindy Beach, up near Kosaba, Woolgoolga.
Yep.
And because we were Aboriginal, we weren't allowed in hospitals.
Yep.
Trapped up in mum's rib cage. I was born with my feet turned together.
Yep.
And by lucky dad played footy for Grafton, football team. That took us down when I was 8, operated, and they put my feet back out straight.
Mm.
But I still can't walk properly.
Yeah.
Prosthetic shoes I've got to wear.
Yep.
And in that home, because when I came there on that day, they come to the gates of hell, I call it. They burnt your clothes, and I had second-hand sand shoes at the nuns.
They burnt the clothes that you had on?
Burnt the clothes.
And they gave you some second-hand clothing, second-hand shoes?
No, they never gave us any shoes. They burnt my shoes, and we had no shoes in Kinsler till we went to Kempsey High School. And all the frost on the ground.
I'm talking country New South Wales, very cold time, very cold area.
Kick your toes, kick your feet, you had cracks and cuts all over your feet. Because frost on the ground, because they wouldn't give you shoes in there.
Whoa.
Yeah, until you went to high school.
And that's the treatment of the Kinsella boys training camp.
Ex-army.
Yep.
And when I walk, they say, walk properly, walk straight. And as a kid, I'm walking. I said, I can't see how I'm walking.
Yeah.
They come drop me on the back of the head. I went up and bloody down on the ground, smashed down the ground. They'd sit down and have a meal. And
this was a daily thing?
Yeah, daily.
Yep.
They'd sit down and have a meal and they'd say, number 12, you're not walking like a little white soldier.
So you were numbered?
Yeah, number 12.
You're number 12.
Yep. And I still carry that tattooed in my brain today.
Of course, Uncle. You're scarred.
Yeah.
Yep. You talked about the fill of your meals. What were your meals like?
Meals were substandard because the government had given them a certain amount of food, but they had no good storage. They weren't airtight.
Yep.
Like we had macaroni and spaghetti in galvanised garbage tins.
Yeah,
and they weren't airtight. A little weevil, a little black weasel would get in there and he'd multiply by the millions.
So you're eating the bugs as well?
Yeah, they'd cook it up and they'd finish that plate until you completely cleaned it up.
Yeah.
They'd keep giving it to you. Same as the breakfast cereals, we had porridge and wheat mix.
Yeah, Uncle Jim.
A little moth would fly in and he'd lay little grubs in there. They'd go stiff when they cook them up.
Yeah.
And when you try to swallow that down, they'd be caught in your throat.
Yeah. So, Uncle Roger, can you quickly tell us a story? Do you recall when you were removed from your family or from your hometown?
Definitely.
Tell us about that story and paint that picture, Uncle. A ugly picture, I would admit.
Well, the bell used to ring up the church because the nuns must have knew that something was going on. And we had a little house on the mission at Barrowville.
Barrowville
Mission.
Mm-hmm.
And this big black car came up. And I found out it was a Riley. The government used English cars, Rileys and Humbers and all that.
Yep.
The government. Out the passenger door, the Sergeant Noonan was a police officer in Barrowville. He stepped out one door, and Mr. Norton was a welfare officer.
So you know these names well.
I was 11 year old, and I was 11 year old.
Yes, 11 year old.
Well and truly, I wanted to be a mechanic.
You wanted to be a mechanic?
I can pull them over apart, and I can put ring bearings.
Yeah. Bush mechanic, Uncle.
I can rebuild a car.
Yeah, thank you. Beautiful.
I've done panel beating.
Yep, very talented.
Yep. Anyway, they came up in there and they sat mum had a little smoking place out the front of our place.
So both mum and dad were home?
No, dad was in Sydney.
Dad was in Sydney.
He was working for phone book.
Phone book company. Yellow Pages.
Phone book.
So he was working now in Sydney, and the family's home. Now you got brothers and sisters, siblings.
Yeah.
Were they taken as well, or just you?
Yes, they're all taken. The sisters went up to Cowper at Grafton.
How many sisters you got?
Sandra, Denise, Lauren, about five.
Five sisters, yeah. And how many brothers?
There was 11 all told.
11 all told. Yeah, yeah. So you're all at home there, Barrowville, and this black car turns up.
The two older brothers run away into the bush.
Okay, they took off.
Max and Ross, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, when they turned up, Mum was caught when she was 8 years old by Grandfather Sam Dodday, because he hated white people. Mm. So she had no education.
Yep.
And they said to her, Mrs. Jarrett, if you sign these papers, your kids will return within 12 months. Mum did come down to Kimchula because there was a cab driver there named Vince Bannerman.
Gee, good names, Uncle.
F.J. Holden, two-tone, green and yellow. He had a cab, the only cab in Barrowville.
Yes.
And then Mr. Smith came in 1958 with a black F.C. Holden, beautiful black crowd.
Mm.
That's the year I was taken. She did come down to Kimchula, spread a blanket out inside that. Me and my two brothers raced up.
Yep.
Said, getting out of this bloody hill. But she spread a blanket inside the gate. And I couldn't wonder, I didn't wonder what was going on.
Wondering what's going on?
Yeah.
A blanket inside the gate?
Yeah, spread it out and gave us cordial, lollies and biscuits.
Yep.
So down there. Within an hour, Frank White, the manager, came out and said to Mum, she's got to go. And she says, true as God, as I'm sitting here, I said to Mum, please don't come again. She's already lost us once, let alone twice.
Yeah, okay.
What a bloody strong woman.
Yeah, Uncle.
Yep.
Yep.
And when I got out of Kinshaw, I never asked her anything about it at all.
Yep.
You know, just lived with her. I said, met my mum, I was one of the lucky ones.
Yeah.
Because some of the boys were kids taking a bloody Kootamunda bombardier at Bay.
Yeah.
And they don't know where they come from with their tribe was.
All boys that worked into the Kinshaw Boys Aboriginal Training Camp,
yep,
all leave?
We don't.
Were there
know.
Any noted deaths?
They never told us. We weren't allowed to ask any
questions. You weren't allowed to ask any questions?
No. Some boys would come and you'd play with them one day.
Yep.
Next day you wouldn't see them.
Next day you wouldn't
Whether
see them.
Whether they were adopted out or thrown in the river or whatever happened. Or
don't know.
You don't know.
Like you said, you're one of the lucky ones, Uncle
Roger.
Lucky.
Yeah, very lucky. I was 11 years old, so I was in the big boys' dormitory.
So when did you leave? How long were you in there for?
I was in there for 6 years.
6 years? So 11, so we're talking about the age of 17?
Yeah, nearly 17, yeah.
And did
yeah.
you go back home to Barrowville?
No. They sent me down to a place in Homebush in Sydney.
Yep.
Where they got young little white fellas from the country.
Yep.
Brought them down to this PMG hostel to make them linesmen, digging posts and telegraph poles in.
Okay.
And technicians to sort phones and that out.
Yep.
And every Christmas, they send them back up. So I used to do the maintenance in that place, paint the floors, fix the carpet.
Okay. Were you getting paid for that? Was it a job?
Yeah, 10 quid a week.
Okay, so you got paid for that.
Yeah.
And when you turned of age, 18, did you end up going home? Did you see Mum again?
Yes, I was really lucky.
Yeah, thank you.
One of the fortunate ones. Yep. The brother-in-law worked at Simon Scarf at Lincoln. And by that time, I'd come out like a bloody rabbit. I didn't know how to be a man, let alone a father.
Yeah, sure.
And then 1966, bang, this white girl was pregnant. I went back to Barrowville. I was supposed to marry a girl named Elaine Walker.
Elaine Walker. Are you listening, Elaine?
She's Booker. She was a Bunjalung girl.
Okay. And
because I'm a Goombang Yeel.
Yeah.
You know, they keep us, our totems, not to mix, not to inbreed.
Yeah, gotcha.
That was
the Aboriginal custom laws. Yeah,
exactly.
That's right.
Right,
yeah, okay. Yeah.
When I got back, she's already.
So you don't marry into tribe?
No, that's right.
You stayed with your own tribe?
Yeah. Well, she'll marry somebody else, so the elder said to me, nephew, go away, bloodline's too thin, marry a woman down where you are. And I'll be married to a white girl for 59 years.
And what's this white girl name?
Rosalind Jarrett.
Rosalind, and a very hello in regards to Rosalind. Well, beautiful story. And look, successful as you are today, but the trauma that you went through, if it don't kill you, it'll make you stronger, I would
say,
Uncle Roger.
And the more we talk about it, you know what I mean, the more poison we get out of our chest.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? It releases you from that.
Yeah, so you're happy to have a yarn here on National Talk Black, Mama Bipa Media.
I can talk on the water.
Yeah, I'm breathing for you. Yeah. I'm trying to tell you, Uncle, I'm the host. I'm the host. Well, very good talking with you. Now, you were brought to Cairns, you and your fellow Aboriginal boys in the training camp of Kinchilla, Kinchilla Boys, for recognition and acknowledgement. We had a gathering the other day, big shout out to Mission Australia and young Daniel Gila, who organised for you gentlemen to be there. I know we have Uncle Les Franks who lives here in Cairns, and he was part of that. I remember interviewing him last year about his journey. So we salute you, we congratulate you, we thank you for coming here and being with us and to hear your story. And I always say Australia's got a history, good or bad, black or white, but the history is a history, and the history needs to be told.
Definitely for to go forward.
To go forward, thank you. That's right, Uncle Roger.
Clean the past up to go forward.
Yes.
And the more white people know about what happened,
mm-hmm.
they'll be more aware of it. Because
well, here's truth-telling, isn't it?
It's hidden by the government.
Exactly. Yeah. There it is. Uncle, all the best to you. Thank you for your yarn. We will talk soon.
Yep.
Enjoy your rest of your time here in Cairns. But then you can head back to your cold country, New South Wales. Now, while I'm on that, Uncle, you've got to be a Blues supporter.
No, I'm a Broncos supporter.
You're a Broncos supporter, all the way.
Yeah, lived up in Narang for 23
years. Yeah, beautiful.
I'm a commercial
farmer. So you're a Queensland boy?
No,
Queensland
no,
supporter?
No.
Queensland supporter?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, all right. Right, right.
I've got you up here as a deadly brother.
Cool.
Yeah. Uncle, good yarn with you. We'll yarn soon, eh? Thank you very much. Right. So there's a beautiful yarn there with Uncle Roger Jarrett, now based down there at Coffs Harbour. But he was one of the boys back in the early 60s, Kintilla Boys, Aboriginal training camp. He talked about it being a so-called prison and they were slaves. And here we have the truth telling. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you say Yarn Up Strong, and a big shout out to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn Up with Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, National Talk Black.